We're going to start our second day, which is also the last day of this conference. We're running a little bit behind schedule again. Seems to be a chronic illness of the Muslims. Perhaps we could address this illness at our lecture today somehow. But the schedule is going to run. We'll have this entire lecture. Okay, starting now at 10:30. Once the brunch is set up, we'll have the brunch, and we'll probably lose some time out of the question and answer session. But we'll try and stick as close to the schedule now as possible. This fourth lecture is entitled Righteousness and Sinning, Reflecting on the Hadith of Wabisa. And our speaker today is Muhammad al-Jibali. And we'll just listen to him, and inshallah we'll learn from this lecture.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. Righteousness and sinning. That's all what the deen is about, right? To know the acts of righteousness and to know what is sinning. To know righteousness and know so that we can do it and we can act upon it, and to know sinning so that we can avoid it. The hadith, which is the center of this discussion, is the hadith of Wabisah bin Ma'bid radiallahu anhu. He was going to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about birr and ithm. Birr means righteousness and ithm means sinning. So he was going to ask him about this. What does it mean? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he opened his mouth, he said, "You are coming to ask me about righteousness and sinning." And he said, "Yes." He said, "O Wabisah, check your heart." And before he put his fingers into the chest of Wabisah and hit him into his chest a few times, and he said, "O Wabisah, check your heart. Birr, or righteousness, is that which pacifies the soul and comforts the heart. And ithm is that which weaves evil thoughts in the heart and echoes in the chest, despite what other people advise you." So this hadith carries important meanings, of course, and that is inshallah why we want to discuss it, with the hope that we can have a better understanding of righteousness on one hand and sinning on the other hand. which are both beats of the heart, as you can hear, or basically based on the heart, as you can hear, as you heard from this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ pointed or put his hand and his fingers on the chest of Waliswa, and he said, check your heart, O Waliswa. Look into your heart, see what your heart feels and believes about a certain deed. For deeds, for actions that comfort the heart and pacify the soul. Because here we're not talking about music either. Some people describe music as pacifying the soul and comforting and things like that. But it never is. And it is definitely a deed of the devil, of the shaitan, even for the most quiet music that some people think this is classic music, so it's not like hard rock or something like that. It is pacifying. It's never pacifying, and it is definitely prohibited. So we are not talking about this here. We are talking about the thoughts which dwell in the chest, in the heart of people, and then only the person himself knows about them. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling Waliswa, check into your heart, look into your heart, because you are the one who knows best about what's in your heart. So the Islam is clear. Al-haram bayin, al-halal bayin, al-haram bayin. What is permissible is clear, and what is prohibited is clear. But to know whether you are about to do or to commit, or you are hiding an action of birr or of sin, birr or ism, righteousness or sinning, you have to check into your heart. And then see if the thoughts which you are hiding in your heart are of the type that pacifies the soul, that comforts your heart, that makes you feel pleased with yourself, then this is an indication that this is a good deed, that this is a righteous deed. And if they are not, then this is an indication that if it is something which weaves in the heart, weaves evil thoughts, it tries, you know, to build up in your chest, like what we discussed yesterday about envy. It is a thought in the heart which starts weaving and building, and eventually, in most cases, it translates into some evil action as well. So this is ism. So what weaves in the heart and echoes in the chest, which means it starts building and you know, growing and growing, then this is an ism, this is a sinning, this is an evil action of the heart, this is a disease of the heart, in the heart, regardless of what other people advise you, he said. And as I just mentioned, this is based on what we know of the halal and the haram. This is based on what we know to be a good thought and an evil thought from the shara. So our feeling in the heart, it is not like an emotional feeling, which is based on just, you know, desires, for example. It is something which is controlled and directed by the shara, by Islam. So we know that this is something which is good, which pacifies my soul and my heart, based on Islam, based on the shara. Then I feel comforted by it, that I am having this feeling, for example, of love towards my Muslim brothers. Okay, this mere feeling of love is an action of birr, of righteousness, even if it doesn't translate into action. The feel of trusting Allah Azza wa Jal, of tawakkul, of full trust in Allah, of having full reliance on Him, and regardless of what people try to, how people try to scare me. This feeling is a feeling of righteousness, and it's not based on desire, it is based on shara. We have to have this kind of tawakkul. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. On Allah rely if you are believers. So such actions of the heart, which nobody can see them, which nobody can look into them, except Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who knows about them. And the person himself, these are the ones that a person should check his heart for them, and then based on what he sees, he can tell whether this is an act of righteousness or an act of sinning. And as I said, based on what he knows from the Shara, I emphasize this again and again, so it is not a matter of open desire based on a hazard, thoughts or tendencies by some people based on what they learned from different philosophies and Sufism and other ideas or ideologies. Okay, similar to this hadith, or related to this hadith, and meaning to this hadith of Wabisa, is another hadith narrated by Imam Muslim via An-Nuwas bin Sam'an radiallahu anhu. He reported that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-birru husn al-khuluq. Birr, righteousness, is good manners. Al-birru husn al-khuluq. And ithm, or sinning, is those bad thoughts, the same as in the other hadith, that weave about in your chest and you fear that other people may know about them. Okay, so al-birru husn al-khuluq wal-ithmu ma haka fi al-sadri wa khashita an yattali' alayhi an-nas. Ithm, sinning, is these evil thoughts which hide in the chest and weave in the chest, and we are afraid that other people will know about them. So these are these secret thoughts that we have. Envy, again, is a good example. We have envy, and in many cases we don't want to show such a feeling to others. Even though in many cases this, as I said, translates into some actions which reflect what's in their heart. And, as the Arabic poet said, وَمَهْمَا تَكُنْ عِنْدَ مْرِئٍ مِّنْ خَلِيقَةٍ وَإِنْ خَالَهَا تَخْفَى عَلَى النَّاسِ تُعْلَمِ. Which means whatever the character is present in a person, even if he expects or thinks that it will be hidden, it can be hidden from people, eventually it will be known by them. So, this doesn't have to be perfectly accurate, but it reflects the idea that there are thoughts which hide in the heart, in the chest, which weave in the chest, and this weaving will, in most cases, result in actions. But in some cases, it won't get that far because of some reasons, some things which will delay or stop the action, this action of the heart, from translating into actual action of the body. So you see, these ahadith are talking about righteousness and sinning, and we would normally expect that righteousness is to do deeds of righteousness, which is what other people can see, so actions that are visible actions. And the same for sinning. But as you see, both of these ahadith are describing actions which may never be seen by people. So righteousness is actually in the heart before you can see it. And it is based in the heart. I mean, what you can see, what we can see, and we describe as righteousness, could be actual righteousness and could be something else. What? Hypocrisy, right? If a person has bad and evil thoughts in his chest and heart, but he tries to show people that he's righteous, this is hypocrisy. So the base for the actions, for the visible actions, is what's in the heart, and that is what these two ahadith emphasize. Righteousness is something that people have to have to help each other in establishing on earth. And this is what is the purpose of sending the messengers. And this is why we are supposed to carry the da'wah and to invite people to Islam and to its teachings, And it is a requirement to every Muslim to do this as much in his capacity, as much as he can do it. Or she can do it. And to forbid evil in all our capacity. This is what Islam is about. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, which means help one another, O Muslims, help you one another in righteousness, in acts of birr and taqwa, righteousness and piety. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, but do not help one another in acts of sinning, ithmi, wal-udwan, and transgression. And here just very briefly, you know, the difference between righteousness and piety, what is it? Righteousness is when it comes by itself as a word, by itself, like in the hadith of Nuwas ibn Sam'an, it includes piety. And one piety or taqwa. Taqwa is to try to shelter ourselves, to do actions that will involve sheltering ourselves from Allah's fire, from Allah's wrath. That's taqwa. And birr is to do actions of righteousness. But when birr comes by itself, it involves taqwa, because if a person is birr, he is also going to have taqwa. And if a person has taqwa, he will do actions of birr. But when they come together, it means that each one of these two terms is meant to emphasize a certain aspect of the common meaning that they have together. And the same for ithm and udwan. Ithm means to commit a sin, to commit a sinful deed which is prohibited in itself. And udwan is to commit a sinful deed which is, it is to transgress, which means the deed that one does would not probably be sinful, but to transgress in it, to do more of it than is allowed, that becomes udwan, transgression, like trespassing other people's lands or borders. So when they come together again, they are emphasizing specific aspects, but when they are separate, when we talk about ithm, this involves udwan in it. This involves any kind of transgression or injustice and so on. So this ayah enjoins on people to help each other in birr, in righteousness, and to forbid evil. It is an obligation on all people. And as we have said, the most important of it is what we cannot see of birr, and what we cannot see of sinning, which is what is hidden in the hearts of people. This is something that also we need to enjoin on people to do the birr, acts of birr, and to refrain from acts of sinning. In a long ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal describes the acts of righteousness by saying, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It is not righteousness to turn your faces to the east or to the west. That's not what indicates who is righteous or not. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Righteousness is he who believes in Allah, the last day, وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ, and the book, the prophets. ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين and the prophets and ومن آتى المال على حبه وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى والمساكين وابن السبيل ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب والسائلين واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب. Here I've said it right. وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. Which means, you know, I translated already part of it. The rest of it says, and also an act of birr is to give his wealth in spite of loving it to the kinfolk, to orphans, to the needy, to the wayfarer, to those who ask, and he who sets slaves free, and he who establishes prayer and gives the purifying charity, and those who fulfill their covenant when they make it, and those who are patient in extreme poverty and ailment, and at the time of fighting during the battle. Such are the people of truth, and such are the people of piety, or the people who are pious, the people who have taqwa. Now you see that this ayah starts describing al-birr as an action of the heart. It is not to turn your faces to the east or to the west, but it is to believe. And belief is an action of the heart, to believe in Allah and the last day and the angels and so on. So this is the basis for birr, for righteousness, to believe in all these matters. And then an addition to this is to do actions of righteousness. And then at the end of the ayah, of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these are the ones who are truthful, and these are the ones who have taqwa. Therefore, taqwa is, in this ayah, used as a synonym for birr, for righteousness. So those who have righteousness, who do acts of righteousness, are people who have piety, who have taqwa. Okay? Which, you know, emphasizes what I was saying earlier. Now there are actions which, as you heard, I mean, there are actions which are hidden in the heart and no people know about them, but it seems that they are counted as actions of righteousness, or on the other hand, they are counted as actions of ithm. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jal rewards righteousness and punishes ithm or sinning. So how can we understand this, provided that we know that as long as a person does not commit an action with the body, with the limbs, then he is probably still safe? How can we understand this whole picture? And also, you know, the hadith of that we started with, the hadith of Nuwas and the hadith of Wabisla, emphasize that the actual righteousness or sinning is in the heart. So does it mean that we are going to be judged by what we think, by what is in our hearts, or by what our actions are? And is what I'm saying, is this hadith, does this support what some people say, like what you heard yesterday from Brother Dawood, that one of the sisters was talking to him on the phone, and she said that my heart is good, my heart is clean, so I don't have to do what you think is good in order to be good, because my heart is already good, or something to that effect. Is this true? Is what matters just what's in the heart, or are the actions in the body important, or is it only the actions of the body and what's in the heart is not important? That is an important question, and that is a question of long discussion among the ulama. So I try to summarize this, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this hadith is reported by Abi Kafsha al-Anmari radiallahu anhu, and it is compiled by Ahmad and Ibn Majah rahimahumullah. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إنما الدنيا لأربعة رجل آتاه الله علما ومالا فهو يعمل فيه بطاعة الله. فقال رجل: لو أن لي مثل فلان لعملت بعمله. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فهما في الأجر سواء.
He said, this life is for four people, which means there are four classes of people in this life. The first person is a person who Allah gave him wealth and knowledge. And you know, this doesn't mean that person who has wealth will have knowledge, or person who has knowledge will have wealth. It means that, you know, to summarize this, the meaning the Prophet ﷺ is comprising it, is joining the one who has wealth and the one who has money in one description. But it could be that one has wealth only, or one has money only, as in some other hadiths which have similar meaning. So Allah gave him wealth and knowledge. And فَهُوَ يَعْمَلُ فِيهِ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. So he is using these things that Allah gave him to obey Allah with them. And also, it doesn't have to be only wealth or knowledge. It could be some other bounties from Allah. Allah gives a person health, and he uses this, his health, to obey Allah, to go and fight in the way of Allah. Allah will give him some ability, some special ability and expertise, and he uses it, or she uses it, in obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. A person, a sister or a brother who has an experience in education, and they use this knowledge to educate Muslim children so that they are brought up according to Islam. There are many ways where Allah gave us bounties, and we can direct them in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is only an example. So a man that Allah gave him his bounties and he uses them, that is what you can, you know, say as a general meaning of what the Prophet ﷺ is saying here. That one man, Allah gave him his bounties, and he is using his bounties to obey Allah with them. He is spending them and consuming them in obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And the other man, another man, فَقَالَ رَجُلْ. A man says, if I had what this man has, I would do as he is doing. If I possessed the same bounties, if I would be given the same bounties that this man is given, I would be doing the same. فَهُمَا فِي الْأَجْرِ سَوَى. So the Prophet ﷺ says they are similar in reward, those two people. How could it be? And remember, I mean, after our discussion of envy yesterday, I mean, it's important to again bring this up here. This second man is not saying, I hate this man, why is he blessed by these bounties? I wish that he didn't have them and I had them. This is envy, of course. And he's not saying this. He's saying he's admiring the other person and hoping that he too would have similar bounties so that he can use them, utilize them in obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that such two people are equal rewards, have equal rewards. On the other hand, the other two people, one of them is Allah gave him of his bounties, but he is using them in all ways of disobedience. He is disobeying Allah with them. Allah gave him the knowledge, he uses it to turn people away from Allah's way. He gave him the wealth, he is using it to turn people away from Allah's way. He gave him the experience in many things, and he is using this to spread false da'wah and bid'ah and so on. So such a person is the third person, and the fourth person is a person who is watching him and he says, I wish I had what he has, so that I would do as he is doing. There are such people, right? And we see them every day. So what does the Prophet ﷺ say about this? He says, فَهُمَا فِي الْوِزْرِ سَوَى. They are equal in burden, both of them. The person who did and the person who hoped and wished that he can do the same. And an example of this second type of people is in the Quran about the people of in the time of Musa, and in the time of Qarun, who was of the people of Musa. This is in the end of Surah Al-Qasas, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells about Qarun. He says he was one of the people of Musa, and Allah gave him a wealth which is unimaginable. The way Allah Azza wa Jalla describes it in the Quran, even the keys are not of the keys to his treasures are not possible to be carried by a large number of strong people. So the people, the ignorant people of his time, they watched him and they saw how he was arrogant and how he was disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla with his wealth. What did they say? قَالُوا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. They said, we wish that we were given what Qarun has been given. He is indeed of great position or of great bounties. He has been blessed by great bounties. So they want to do what he has. They wish they had the same so that they can be similar to him. And that's what many of the ignorant people of our time do. I mean, they see a bright figure, a glorious and glamorous figure, like, you know, many women, for example, see a famous woman, an actress, for example, or a model or whatever. And they say, look how beautiful she is, look how admirable she is, we wish that we were like her. Some ignorant women would say that. Or some ignorant men would say the same about a famous male singer, for example, or an actor, or a sports star, or something like that. They say, we wish we had the same power, the same blessing that he has been given, so that we can be as famous as he is. And we can do what he's doing. And we can have so many women running after us the same way they are running after him. And so on. So they are wishing to have the same bounty that Allah gave to that person, which is the energy or the power or whatever bounty gave him, so that they can do the same, commit the same sins that he is doing by misutilizing this bounty from Allah Azza wa Jal. This hadith is clear in that a person who has the intention to do a bad deed, which is an action of the heart, even if he cannot do it because he's incapable bodily or materially, he's incapable to do it, he still gets, if a person is doing, if it is a bounty and he's using it in a good way and he wishes to do the same, he gets a similar reward. If he's using it in a wrong way, he gets a similar burden. He has a similar amount of sinning in his heart, that is. Okay? Now this is countered by another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says, this is in Bukhari and Muslim, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah has recorded the good deeds and the sins, the bad deeds. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ. Then he clarified that. And the rest of this is Hadith Qudsi. That is, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا أَوْ كَتَبْتُهَا حَسَنَةً كَامِلًا. Whoever does a good deed, and whoever intends to do a good deed, but he doesn't do it, Allah records it for him as a complete good deed, as a complete hasana. Just for intending to do it, even if he did not do it. فَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا وَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ. And if he has the intention to do it, which is in his heart, he has the deed in the heart, and then he does translate this into action, he does do it, then Allah will record it for him as 10 good deeds. عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ. On the other hand, وَمَنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ لَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً. The one who has the intention to do a good deed, a sinful deed, a sayyah, but he doesn't do it, doesn't commit it, Allah Azza wa Jalla will record this for him, this abstaining from it, as a full good deed, as a full hasana. فَإِنْ عَمِلَهَا, if he does commit it, then Allah will record it for him as one sin, one bad deed. So this hadith seems to be a little bit in conflict with the other hadith. And how do we understand the meaning of these two ahadith in the light of each other? There is an ayah in the Quran which is similar in some of the meaning of this, in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, well, before that, let me mention this hadith which also confirms with that. It says that the Prophet ﷺ said regarding Ghazwat Tabuk, he said, إِنَّ بِالْمَدِينَةِ رِجَالًا مَا سِرْتُمْ مَسِيرًا وَلَا قَطَعْتُمْ وَادِيًا إِلَّا كَانُوا مَعَكُمْ وَهُمْ بِالْمَدِينَةِ حَبَسَهُمُ الْعُذْرِ. He said, there are people in the Medina. And you know, Ghazwat Tabuk is the battle which did not take place as an actual battle, but it was expected to. And the Prophet ﷺ prepared for it very well. And he ordered everybody to go out. And there were people who stayed behind without excuse. And Allah Azza wa Jal talks about them in very big detail in Surah Bara'ah, in Surah Tawbah. And there were only three people of them who were true Muslims but did not have an excuse. The others were considered as munafiqeen, as hypocrites. But there were three people that were good Muslims, and Allah blamed them for that, and the Prophet ﷺ blamed them, but later on Allah accepted their repentance. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. These three people, Allah has accepted their repentance. But there are people who did have good excuses, and they could not go out. They were either very sick, so that they could not travel, or they did not have the material, they did not have the ability, bodily ability, or they did not have the ability to buy things, to ride on animals and so on, to be able to travel to this battle. So the Prophet ﷺ is talking about these people by saying, these people, there are people in the Medina that whenever you walk Sirtum Masira, you go on a trip in order to fight, and whenever you cross a valley, they are with you. That is, they are as if they are with you. They are getting your rewards, the rewards that you are getting by this travel. They said, even though they are in Medina, he was asked, even though they are in Medina, he said, yes, even though they are in the Medina, they have been stopped and blocked by other, by excuse, by acceptable excuse. So for these people, Allah Azza wa Jal will give them the reward of those who have gone out in the fighting. Similar to this is the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, and this I think is also in the same surah. I'll try to remember it. It says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ لَا يُصِيبُهُمْ ظَمَأٌ وَلَا نَصَبٌ وَلَا مَخْمَصَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَطَؤُونَ مَوْطِعًا يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارَ وَلَا يَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. Which means, that is because they are not those people who are going in the way of Allah. They are not hit or afflicted by dhama, thirst, or tiredness and toil, nasabun, wala makhmasatun, or hunger, fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah. And they do not, by their going out, they do not cause the enemy to be in a hard position, a hard situation, in hardship. And they do not go, whenever they go to a place which will cause the kuffar to be hurt and to be, you know, angry, they anger the kuffar by their going. But Allah Azza wa Jal by this will record for them a good deed. Okay. And then he said at the end of the ayah, and or the next ayah, يجزي الله أحسن ما كان ولا ينفقون what's the rest of the ayah ولا ينفقون نفقة صغيرة ولا كبيرة ولا what's the rest of it here it is I found it ولا إلا كتب لهم عمل به عمل صالح إن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين ولا ينفقون نفقة صغيرة ولا كبيرة ولا يقطعون واديا إلا كتب لهم يجزيهم الله أحسن ما كانوا يعملون. And they never cross, they never spend in the way of Allah, whether it's little or big. Or they cross a valley, but Allah will record this for them so that He would give them the reward for what they have done. Now as you will notice in these two ayahs, the first ayah is talking about actions which the Muslims are doing and they are getting or resulting from these actions are other things which they did not do themselves, like for example, or they did not intend them, like they are going out to fight in the way of Allah, they did not intend to be thirsty or hungry or tired, so that comes as a byproduct of their going in the way of Allah, and this is something which is rewarded, they get reward for them for that. The enemy is harmed and hurt and becomes angry because of their going out, even though they have not done any actual action to hurt the enemy, except, you know, they're just mere going out on this trip. And this, they get rewarded for it. So even the actions which are out of their control, they get reward for them. It is recorded for them as good deeds. And then the other ayah, the second ayah, talks about, the following one, talks about actual actions that they do. Spending in the way of Allah, this is actual action they did. Or they actually crossed the valley by their own feet. So this also is an action, which is a good action, a good deed done by the, you know, by the body, by the material means, and they also get a good, it's recorded for them as a good deed. So this shows that, again, that the person, a person is rewarded for deeds that he does in his heart, or that he helps for them to take place, indirectly, or for actions that he does himself personally with full intention. So now I go back to the question that I posed earlier. How can we understand the two ahadith? One of them is saying that if a person commits, if a person intends to do a good deed and then he doesn't do it, it is still recorded for him as a good deed. And if he intends to do a bad deed and he doesn't do it, it is recorded for him as a good deed. The other hadith that I read earlier says that if a person wishes that he was the same as the sinful, capable person, then he is like him in the wizard, in the burden that he has. So he is as sinful as him. And the person who hopes to be as good as the one who is doing good deeds, then he is equal to him in reward. So how can we understand the two ahadith? As I said, the ulama have different opinions about this, and I find the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in this is very strong, which says that the ham or the intention is of different level, like any other emotion or action or in a human being. Okay, for example, knowledge is of varying degrees. People have lesser knowledge, people have greater knowledge, people have mediocre knowledge and things like that. Colors, there are dark colors, there are light colors, there are middle colors. So they are not all the same. They are not all colors are the same, not all knowledge are the same, not so many faculties that we have, or many capabilities that we have, are not equal. Some people have more power, some people have less power. And some actions we do it more strongly than others. Sometimes, you know, we hit very hard, sometimes we hit lighter, and this will cause more damage or less damage, and so on. Similarly, for our deeds of the heart, some of them are stronger than others. And we can have a very strong intention, and we can have a very little intention. You know, I intend, I wish I had what this person has, so that, you know, I would be able to spend the way that he is spending. I could say this, and then Allah Azza wa Jal tests me by giving me all the wealth that I need and much more. And then I hide it away. I do not want to use it in the way of Allah. This could happen. So what happened? Did I get reward for my previous intention? This means, and Allah Azza wa Jal blames such people. People who promised to give charity when Allah Azza wa Jal will give them the money. But once Allah Azza wa Jal gave them the money, they bakhilu, as Allah Azza wa Jal described them. They were stingy in what Allah Azza wa Jal, the bounty that Allah gave them. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَبَ اللَّهِ لَإِنْ أَتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِنَا لَصَدَّقًا. Which means they gave the covenant to Allah that if He gives us of His bounty, if He gives us wealth, we will give, we will pay charity, we will pay, spend in His way. So that is the covenant that they gave to Allah. لَإِنْ أَتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. فلما آتاهم من فضله بخلوا به وتولوا وهم معرضون. When Allah gave them of His bounty, they became niggardly, they became stingy, and they turned away from obeying Allah, from doing what they promised earlier, that is. So there are people like this. In fact, most people are like this. If they do not have the bounty, they say, they claim that they will be better when they have it, but once they have it, they don't stand up for it. And as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. He's telling this to the Muslims in general at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Many of them, or some of them, were hypocrites. And they were exposed at the time, you know, before the time of the fighting. They say, we want to fight, we want to fight in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Like what you hear, you know, now in our time. Many people say, let us go and fight and face these taghut, these, you know, governors and these unjust rulers and so on. And, you know, why are they sitting here? Why don't they go and face these taghut instead of preaching others? When the time comes for standing in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, for fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, as what happened in the time of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ. You were wishing, you were hoping for death, for fighting in the way of Allah and dying in the way of Allah before you met it, before you met with death, which means before it was made obligation on you to go and fight in the way of Allah. And then what happened? When it was an obligation, many of them ran away. As we, you know, as we hear from this surah, that when they saw the death in their face, in their faces, they became very scared. And as Allah described them in Surah Al-Ahzab, their eyes, you know, started, you know, turning around, and their hearts reached their throats and so on. So they changed their testimony or their covenant once it was the time to fulfill their promise with Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is what we see in many people, and therefore not all of them, of course, are like that. Not all of them are like that. As Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the true believers, he says, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Which means among the believers are men who were truthful in what in the covenant they gave to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And some of them have died in the battle, and some of them are still waiting their turn. So you find that the intention of the person when he gives the covenant or the promise, or when he hopes, when he shows such an emotion in his heart, is of varying degrees. Such an intention is of varying degrees. Some people have such a strong intention that if they have the ability, this intention will translate definitely into action. Okay? So for an action to take place, it needs two elements. The intention to do it, and regardless, I mean, of now what the intention is, purified to Allah or not, but we are saying the intention to do this action, and the capability to do it, right? The ability. We need two things. If either of them is missing, the action will not take place, right? If I have the full power to, you know, go down from this, down the stairs now, but I do not feel like it, I don't want to do it, I won't do it, it won't take place. And similarly, if I have the full intention to go down the stairs, but something is blocking me, somebody is holding me, you know, chaining me, or there's some reason I have to give a lecture, for example, then I won't do it. Okay, so it needs both the capability and the intention. And if any of these two is missing, or not available in the sufficient amount to enable the action to take place, then the action will not take place. So for people who say, I wish I had what this person is possesses so that I can do like him. If they do not have the capability, of course, obviously, they do not have the ability, they do not have the wealth or the knowledge or whatever other ability it's needed that this person is using to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. But they have the intention. Now if the intention is strong enough, it's not just, you know, mere wishes which are baseless and not true. If this is a true wish and will and intention, that if it were, and Allah knows best, if it were such that they would be given the ability, this would immediately translate into similar action, then they get a similar reward. Okay? And vice versa. If a person has the full intention to commit a sin, and he is incapable of doing it, but if he were to be given the chance to do it, he would definitely do it, then he is equal in sin to the one who actually does it. Okay, فَهُمَا فِي الْوِزْرِ سَوَى, in this case. But, as for the other hadith, if a person has the intention to do a good deed, which means he had the strong intention to do the good deed, but he is prevented. He was about to do it and then he's prevented. So the ability, the actual ability, is reduced to such an extent that he cannot translate into action. And therefore he stopped from doing the good deed even though he had the intention for it in his heart, the true intention. Then this will still be recorded for him as a complete hasana, as a full hasana, good deed. But for the and similarly for the one who had the intention to do to commit a sin, and then he stopped doing it, not because he was, you know, blocked and he had the full intention, but because he reduced of his intention to the extent he decided and thought better about it and feared Allah Azza wa Jal, and he thought, no, I shouldn't do it. So such a person who has the intention to do the sin and he has the ability, but he stopped, not because he doesn't have the ability anymore, but because his intention has been reduced to the level that it does not anymore translate into action, which means he doesn't intend anymore to do it as he did before, not as strongly at least as before, then for him this will be considered by Allah Azza wa Jal, recorded for him as a full hasan, as a good deed, that he has feared Allah Azza wa Jal and refrained from the sin. Okay, so this probably explains the two hadith, and this makes the two ahadith, conform with each other in meaning. So in summary, I mean, I've been going for close to an hour. I need to leave some time for questions. In summary, I would say that from the hadith of Wadithah and the hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an, we understand that there is the place for righteousness and for sinning is in the heart. And the person For a person to know what is in his heart, he needs whether his thoughts are sinful or righteous. He has to check into his heart, regardless of what other people tell him, because he is the one who is most acquainted with his heart, and see if what his heart conforms with the righteousness as is taught in Islam, then this is good, and if it is, if it does not, then this is a sinful deed, and that he should work on removing it from his heart. Otherwise, it could translate into action, or he would be engulfed in the warning of being equal in wisdom and burden with the people who commit sins. So I stop here, and inshallah, if anybody has questions from the sisters or from the brothers, let's hear them. صلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. نعم يا أخي.
Intentions and our effort. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the same thing that you just said. And I have a question on if, you said by judging by our heart and do righteousness is good manners. And the question that seems to have left me. But I'll just wait till it come back.
What was the first question? I didn't understand it.
I said it left my mind by me making another statement.
Okay.
They both left me. I'll raise my hand again when it come back to me.
Inshallah. Exactly. Okay. Do we have questions from the sisters? In the meantime, are there any questions from the brothers? It seems that...
Okay. Let me hold it, or you want to... All right. Brother, I want to know, now, if it's me, for instance, there's a brother you deal with constantly, he's a good brother, and he don't know that he think you have bad intentions and bad thoughts, and not, you know, he don't seem to understand. He think the worst of you as far as, you know, that you have bad things for him in your heart. And it's totally the opposite. You know, what would you do in a case like that? Your heart is, you know, it's not like that at all. And you know, but he just understanding totally different. It's just, you know, over say if you're, no matter who you deal with, your whole heart, your whole purpose is misinterpreted, and you have real goodness in your heart and the best, and it's interpreted the other way. That's one of my questions. I remember the other one too. Yeah.
Let me see if I understand the question. You're saying that if you have good intention in your heart, and some people misinterpret it and think that you have bad intention toward them, then what can you do in that case? Well, of course, first of all, I mean, this is a mistake and a sin on the part of the people who judge the intentions of others. I mean, they say such and such person has a bad intention or has hypocrisy or something like that in his heart. This is something which is in the heart. And how can other people know what is in my heart? They can see the indications of what's in the heart. If a person has good actions, then very likely, in most cases, that means that what is in the heart is good. But in some cases, there could be hypocrisy. But in general, we don't know about this. So when a person acts apparently in a good way, then we have to accept him as being a good person and to be of good intentions. If a person act in a bad way, in a sinful way, then this is an indication that what is in the heart is bad, or you know, totally or partially. But still, I mean, we cannot have a full judgment about what's in the heart. Like a person is committing sins, we cannot say that therefore he's not a Muslim. He's a disbeliever. By Allah, he's a disbeliever because he has been committing such and such sin. We cannot know unless he tells us and he says, I am a non-Muslim, I disbelieve in Islam, I say so and so. Then this is the only way that we can judge people, the hearts of people, by what they say. But to judge the intention, this is wrong. To say he has a bad intention and he has good intention, that is wrong, and this has been warned against in Islam in many places, in the Quran and Sunnah. Maybe it suffices to mention that the situation where Usama radiallahu was in a battle and he killed a person, a disbeliever. Just before he got to him, he said La ilaha illallah. So he continued after him until he killed him. And when he came to the Prophet, they came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was told about this, and he brought Usama before him and he said, how could you kill him after he said La ilaha illallah? He said, he only said it to shelter himself from death, to protect himself. And he said, did you kill him after he said La ilaha illallah? He continued to say it again and again and again until Usama said, I wished that I never accepted Islam before that moment. That is, I wished that I was new Muslim and that all my previous sins are forgiven, because he felt that this is indeed a great sin that he committed by killing a person. Because there is, you know, most likely that's why the person accepted Islam, to protect himself. But, and especially in such a situation, maybe 99%, this is the, alhamdulillah, percent, this is the reason. But still, there is this 1% or 1 per 1,000 or 1 per million chance that he did it because he realized that Muslims are stronger and that Allah is giving them victory, therefore Islam is true, and he accepts Islam at this moment. So we cannot judge the hearts of people even in the cases where there is the strongest indications against them. As long as there is possibility, no matter how slim it is, of their intentions being interpreted differently, we have to accept this possibility. And in one of the reports, and I think this is in the similar hadith with Khalid radiallahu anhu, Prophet said, أَهَلَّا شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ, which means, did you cut open his heart to know what is in it, whether he is true, whether he was true in his shahada or he was lying? You didn't do that, so you cannot judge the hearts of people. You cannot tell what is in the hearts of people. Okay, so the same for the intention. The intention is something in the heart, and you cannot judge the hearts of people. So if they do this, if a person treats you like this by judging your intentions and saying you have bad intentions, then لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. I mean, this is, as we said yesterday, in the case of a person who is, you know, who's doing ghibah, who's towards you, who's backbiting you, or who is envying you, or something like that. This person is actually doing you a service because he is giving you away from his good deeds, from his. So, and on the hereafter, as you heard from the hadith, his good deeds will be given to the people that he hurt. So, but still, I mean, being our brother, we have an obligation towards him, which means to advise him. So you have to advise him and remind him if we have the ability and the knowledge and the approach to do it. Otherwise, we seek the help of people of knowledge with the hope that this will, you know, improve him, and by that the whole ummah, of course, will improve, inshallah. Allahu a'lam. Did I answer your question? Alhamdulillah.
I have a question.
Yes. He had another question.
Yes. Oh, okay.
You were touching on it, and just before this started, I was asking a brother to explain to me, and he told me wait till this lecture started. Here you have a touch on it anyway. Could you explain fully to us so we clearly know what pious means and how we can implicate it?
The meaning of piety? What's piety? Well, that is that's a long subject, but in brief, I think we touched on it in brief. Piety or taqwa, if we assume that piety is a translation of the word taqwa, because it is not actually an accurate translation, taqwa is to, as I said briefly, is to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, to do actions that protect us from Allah's wrath and punishment. And this means to observe Allah's presence and closeness and all His power and glory and attributes in order to recognize Him in the best way as He describes Himself and as His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describes Him, and therefore act based on that belief and on that knowledge in the way that conforms with it. That is, fear Him to the utmost. I mean, we know His watchfulness over us, His closeness to us, and therefore we are afraid of Him, of His punishment. We hope, we have great hope in His rewards and pleasure, and therefore we act based on such belief in Him, in his anger, in His wrath, in His closeness, in His hearing, in His seeing, in His wisdom, all of these and other attributes that we know about Him lead us to fear Him and know Him in the best way, and therefore act based upon such a belief or knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, as in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam that was reported by Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about Ihsan. What is Ihsan? Ihsan, to do the deeds in the best way or in the perfect way, is أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فهو يراك, which means to worship Allah as if you see Him, which means to worship Allah with the full knowledge about Him, as if He's present with you. You know Him, you can visualize to yourself all what you know about Allah Azza wa Jal. Not in figure, of course, not in shape, but you know the closeness of Allah, the watchfulness, the knowledge, how severe is His punishment, how great is are His rewards, and all His other attributes. So as if you are seeing Him. So, because even though you do not see Him, He still sees you. So this is what taqwa is. This is exactly what taqwa is. And persons, and taqwa is in fact, is Islam itself. And Islam is of varying degrees. And the highest of it, the higher the people with higher Islam, with better Islam, are the people with better taqwa. And the more taqwa you have, you are the higher in the ranks, in the position before Allah Azza wa Jal, and the more rewardable you are, and vice versa. So Islam is not all of same of one level. Taqwa is not all of one level. And the person who is pious is a person who applies Islam to the best, and he is one of the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, as Allah describes in the Quran. He said, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Who are they? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. The awliya, the close allies of Allah Azza wa Jal, those closely, mostly beloved by Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no fear for them, that they should not fear anything, and they should not be sad. They will not be sad. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe and who have taqwa. Those who believe and are pious. These are the awliya of Allah. And as the Prophet so they have the true belief and they apply their belief. And as the Prophet ﷺ described in his hadith, He said, "من عاد لي وليا فقد أذنته بالحرب." That Allah Azza wa Jalla says, whoever is hostile or declares enmity towards one of my allies, such people, I declare war against him. Allah declares war against the person who hurts one of his close allies. And then the hadith continues to tell us how a person becomes one of the awliya of Allah. And the description is that first, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مَفْتَرَطُ عَلَيْهِ. There is nothing that my abd can approach me with better and more beloved to me than the things that I made required and incumbent on him. So this is the first step to come closer to Allah, to do what is obligatory. And then, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلَ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. Then my abd will continue to approach me, to come closer to me with nawafil, with what you call it, supererogatory deeds or voluntary deeds, until I love him. And once I love him, then I will be. So in addition, this is all Islam, you know, this is still all of Islam, but some people decide to do the minimum, and some people do more and more of Islam, and these have the minimum. The people who do the minimum, the required things, are the people who have who still have taqwa, but people can vary in taqwa. People have more taqwa, they do more and more of the voluntary deeds until Allah Azza wa Jal loves them. They become of His close friends, awliya, allies, and so on. Huh? No? Yeah, so he says, حَتَّى أَحِبَّ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُ. Once Allah loves one, he becomes his eyesight with which he sees. He becomes his hearing with which he hears. He becomes his hand with which he acts. He becomes his foot with which he walks. And if he asks him for anything, he will accept or answer his dua, and he will protect him if he asks him for refuge, and so on. So you see that taqwa is in fact Islam itself. And the more that you have taqwa, the more the person is applies the correct Islam, the correct Islam which is based on the Quran and Sunnah. That's Islam. That is how a person can have taqwa, and that's the only way, in fact, based on the Quran and Sunnah and the guidance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This then he becomes closer and closer to Allah, and will have more and more taqwa.
This question from the sisters is related to what you were just saying. She asked, what are some of the things we can do to increase goodness in our hearts?
In our hearts? That's a hard question, you know, because that's what everybody, I think, would be asking. And everybody wishes to do, to increase the goodness in our hearts. Because as we said, if the heart is good, then the deeds are good. And contrary to what, as I said earlier, contrary to what some people say, that my heart is good, but my deeds don't necessarily have to be good. It is not true. The better the heart, the better the deeds, and vice versa. If the heart is worse, the deeds are worse. So, to improve our hearts, that's something that we need to work on all our lives. To purify our hearts, to continue to purify our hearts. And how do we do this? First of all, by knowing the Sunnah, of course. By basing our purifying of the heart on a true Sunnah. And not on bid'ah. You know what some of the deviant groups do, like many of the Sufis do, is that their purification of the heart involves going through certain kinds of dhikr, of you know, mentioning Allah Azza wa Jalla in a certain way that doesn't have a basis in the Sunnah. Sometimes in large numbers, thousands or hundreds of thousands. Sometimes they have to do it in a dark room, and sometimes they have to do it with what? In cold water? Water. And sometimes they have to do it while they are, they have in their, they imagine in their minds or in their hearts the picture of their sheikh, as they say. They have to have the picture of their sheikh in their mind. So by that they think that they are improving themselves. So it is, it becomes like a form of yoga. So people, and some, you know, people, the yogis, they think that they are purifying their souls and their bodies in certain, by going through certain exercises. And this is, of course, all wrong. People are using their own logic, which is mixed, mixed good and bad logic, wrong and right logic, to know how to please Allah Azza wa Jal best. And Allah Azza wa Jal instructed us on what pleases Him best in His book and in Sunnah of His Messenger. There is no need for more. So to know how to purify our hearts, we have to know what the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah are first. So therefore, the first thing is to base our actions on a true knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. And this of course, starts with the aqidah, with the true belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, from what I just said about the hadith of Jibreel, and that to worship Allah as if you see Him. Because so this means that we need to have a true belief about Allah Azza wa Jal, a true faith, a true aqidah about Allah. Our aqidah of Allah should not be a false aqidah, like the people who say that Allah is like His creatures, or that Allah, whatever Allah describes Himself with, on the other hand, some other people say, is nothing, is all metaphorical, nothing of it is true. Or other people who say that we can, that Allah is everywhere with us, here, everywhere, and we are part of Allah, or we can be part of Allah as if we improve enough, and so on. All these different and false beliefs. So what I'm saying is that the aqidah is the basis for the belief. This is the first step, for the purifying the heart, is to have the true aqidah, the true belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, and to understand the teachings of Islam, the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, because all of what this came for is to purify the people, as Allah Azza wa Jal said, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم كتاب الحكمة, which means He has sent to the Ummiyin, to the unlettered people, a messenger from among themselves to recite His ayat to them and to purify them and to teach them the book and the wisdom. So the first mission of the messenger is to purify the people, purify their hearts and their actions. All of Islam is purification of the heart. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, I have only been sent to complete good manners. And good manners includes, of course, what is in their heart. And it is maybe, as we said, it is the basis actually for all what comes after it. So, again, to purify our hearts, we have to know the Sunnah. Once we know the Quran and Sunnah, then the Aqidah, when we have the true Aqidah and we have enough knowledge to know what is good, what is a purifying act, what is a correct action of the Sunnah, whether it is a deed of the heart or a deed of the limbs and body, then we should apply it immediately in ourselves and in our families, in our communities, and you should call people to it. This is very important, because otherwise, if we get the knowledge just for the mere knowledge to increase our wisdom without putting it into practice, this will be a useless wisdom. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask every person about what he has done with what He has taught him on the Day of Judgment. وَمَا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمَ, this is one of the things that we'll be asked about on the Day of Judgment. So we have to apply our knowledge, and as we are told about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they used to learn a few ayat of the Quran, and then they would not go beyond them until they learn the associated knowledge in them. So they memorize these few ayat of the Quran, they understand them, and then they act upon them. So as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَالْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ جَمِيعًا. So we have, by that we have learned Quran, we have learned the knowledge of the Quran, and we have learned the actions at the same time. So that's what a Muslim is supposed to do, to learn and to act upon his knowledge immediately. So we need to learn and act, and this is regardless of whether it is a deed of the heart or a deed of the body. It is important, of course, one of the important things, this is a general answer, of course, and if we can go to specifics, like how can I improve my heart in terms of envy, so that I do not have envy of, I do not envy other people. How can I improve my heart in terms of this and this and so on. But what I gave is a very general answer, and for every specific matter, we need a separate discussion, but it still comes under the general thing. It is one of the important things to emphasize is the importance of good company. Okay? Good company is very important. This was mentioned yesterday, I think, by Brother Dawood. So if we want to purify our hearts, let us stay with good company that we know that they will advise us, that they will always remind us. If we go wrong, they will teach us, and if they go wrong, we teach them, and we help each other to go in the right direction. And we stay with the Jama'ah, because the hand of Allah is over the Jama'ah. Allahu Akbar.
Any brothers have questions?
I don't have the benefit of attending the entire conference. I don't know if the issue of fasting was addressed in the traditions of these conference. I wonder if you could elaborate on that.
No, it was not addressed. Can talk briefly about it. I mean, it's clear in the ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, which means, all you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, just as it has been prescribed to those who have been before you, that you may have taqwa. So your question is how they are related, fasting and taqwa are related, right? Why? Yeah, this was mentioned briefly yesterday too, but anyways, fasting is a worship, of course, which is ordained by Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is it can be done in Ramadan, it is obligatory in Ramadan, and it can be done other times of the year. And there is a high reward for fasting, as the Prophet ﷺ says that the one who fasts one day in the way of Allah, Allah will remove his face from the fire the distance of 70 years for just one day of fasting. So there is indeed a great reward for fasting. Why is that? Because from what you heard in the ayah, that there is a benefit in siyam, in fasting. And one of the most important benefits is taqwa, that you may attain taqwa by fasting. Taqwa, as we described it earlier in detail, so there's no need to come back to that. So, some of the ulama say that the reason for this is that, or some of the reason, is that a person by fasting is willfully abstaining from things which otherwise were permissible for him and halal for him, which is eating, drinking, and approaching spouses. So such a thing which is suppressing some of our desires for a certain, some of our human desires for a certain amount of time during the daytime, that is a way of training ourselves to obey Allah Azza wa Jal and to refrain from disobeying Him in some other matters. So this is this helps in the taqwa. And but you know, I should warn that this doesn't mean that that everything that involves suppressing our desires or forcing ourselves to do things which we don't normally like to do would be considered as an act that leads to taqwa or siratullah Allah Azza wa Jalla. It has to conform with Islam, with the Shara, with Quran and Sunnah. And there is the hadith of the man who was sitting standing in the sun. And the Prophet ﷺ asked about him, why is he standing in the sun? And they told him that he had made a vow that he will stand in the sun and will not speak, and he will fast, will not speak to anybody. And he said, Allah does not need from this person to torture himself. So command him, he said, command him to sit in the shadow. And instead of standing in the sun, to sit in the shadow and to speak, but to finish, to complete his fasting. Which shows that even though the person showed that he is doing four forms of, you know, between two quotations, you can call it fasting. Fasting from speaking to people, fasting from staying in the shadow, fasting from sitting. So he's doing things that the soul hates usually, and things that by that he's pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is not true. The only thing that pleased Allah of these four things was to fast. And that's why he said, let him complete his fasting, but stop the other things that he's doing. So the thing that brings taqwa, which also involves doing something that is hated to the soul, and is fasting in this example. And there are other things like fighting in the way of Allah. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Fighting has been ordained on you, Muslim, even though it's something that you hate. People hate to fight. But you may hate something to do, to do something when it is better for you. So what I'm trying to emphasize here is that fasting results in taqwa, because part of the reason is that it suppresses, it helps us train ourselves to suppress some of our desires and the things that we like. But that doesn't mean that everything which we think has the same effect will lead to taqwa. It has to conform with the Quran and Sunnah, otherwise it is not ibadah, it's not acceptable, and therefore it is not useful. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has taught us everything that is of benefit for us. Does this answer?
I have a question here from a sister. If our intention is to help the sisters in relationships between sisters where weakness exists, is it not better for us that we not sit amongst other sisters discussing our inability to accept things that Allah Ta'ala has made halal? Should we speak good or keep silent, making dua to Allah to change our hearts? I'm not sure exactly what it means.
Inability to accept things which Allah has made halal. I don't know what that means. Should we speak good or keep silent? Well, I don't know. If the sister can be more specific in asking her question, I try to answer it, because it is, as it is now, it is very vague, and we can assume things and try answering something and turn out to be question something quite different. So in the meantime, we probably can take one more question. So what can we do?
Give us a number.
Yes, back to the heart. If I say a person has bitterness or bad things in their heart, can it make the body physically, can it harm the body physically in any way if you have, you know, like, your heart is not, you don't have righteousness in your heart?
Well, we know that
it can harm the body physically, but I think your question is an immediate fashion, which I don't know, but maybe it does, but in an indirect way it does, of course, hurt the body, because you know, if a person has, if the heart is diseased, then this means that the person will act in a diseased way. He will act in a wrong way, in a sinful way, based on what is in his heart. And this will lead the body to toil and act in a way different from its, the best way for which Allah created.
As he said, لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. We have created the human being in the best fashion. Allah created us in this best fashion, but we may degenerate
ourselves based on what is in our heart,
and this will lead us to destruction eventually. Which means, you know, we can
a person may, for example, based on
you know.